The aspect of marijuana which is most frightening to a prudish puritanical culture or to an impotent generation is the enhancement of the tactile sense. Marijuana is a powerful intensifier of the sexual experience. This does not mean that marijuana leads to sexual activity. I would estimate that there is less sexual activity during marijuana sessions than in drinking bouts, but the sexual moments are exponentially expanded in the direction of heightened receptivity. Alcohol, of course, is the drug which leads to sexual excesses. It is well known that alcohol is the easiest instrument for seducing a woman. You load her up and roll her over. But the problem with alcohol as a sexual instrument is that the morning after, neither you nor she remembers much about what happened the night before. And that may be merciful, because what you would remember is a crude, brutal, fumbling sexual encounter which is best forgotten. By contrast, the sexual union under marijuana is a slow, rhythmic, mythic, highly ceremonial, unfolding, and unifying. I would say that very few of the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana know how to use this delicate and subtle instrument. Most marijuana is smoked in highly stylized cult situations which fail to take into account the sensory and intimate nature of the experience. I predict that in the next 10 years we will see dozens of manuals outlining methods for harmonizing the intersection of external energy and sense organ by the use of marijuana. But the training and sensitivity required for the use of marijuana is nothing compared to the knowledge and preparation required for the harmonious use of the stronger psychedelic drugs, such as LSD. Of all the methods of conscious expansion, education, and spiritual growth developed by man in the last 4,000 years, the most demanding, the most challenging, is LSD. LSD and similar drugs are direct chemical keys to the ancient texts of cellular wisdom. They put one in direct contact with RNA and possibly DNA species wisdoms which have been stored up for some 2 billion years. I have taken LSD 311 times. Each time I have found the experience awesome and awful. And what I have learned from these many voyages is the humiliating lesson that there is more to learn within my own body than I could grasp in 1,000 lifetimes. Each second of an LSD experience renders one a baby crawling on hands and knees in 1,000 Smithsonian institutes and libraries of Congress, all built into each cell of your body. Lesson number one, then, is turn on. Until you have made contact with the wisdom within the temple of your body, all your external activities are those of a robot, performing stylized but automatic motions. Lesson number two is tune in. Begin to harness the energies which you are releasing into a harmonious exchange with the external environment. Take LSD and then look at your house. You will see, as someone from another planet would see, that you are living in the home of an insane robot. Slowly and planfully, you begin to change your house so that it becomes an external representation of the beauties you are discovering within yourself. As you continue to listen to the wisdom of your cells and to the direct energy explosions on your nerve endings, you will find yourself systematically altering where you live, with whom you spend your time, and what you allow to contact your nerve endings. You will find yourself moving out of stereotype routines, moving out of cities, moving away from repetitious, tribally imposed sequences. You will find yourself slowly dropping out. As you tune in through turning on, you will realize that you belong to a new and mutational species, that you are sharing this planet with a highly energetic, rather destructive, and tragically robot species, namely the older generation. Every baby that is born is a mutant. Every baby is the genetic code's newest and most creative answer to the problem of adapting to the other forms of life and energy on this planet. The generation of adults, human society attempts systematically to block this mutant promise. Your job is to drop out, to planfully, lovingly, gracefully detach yourself from the insane rituals and social pressures which surround you. You cannot drop out externally until you have detached yourself internally. You must leave your job. You must leave your school. You must leave the city. You must leave all of your social connections which do not make sense to your sense organs and your cells. You cannot do this alone, in acts of isolated rebellion. Detaching yourself from the insanity of society requires group action. Your cells will tell you that you are a primate, a tribal animal, one who moves in groups or packs. No man can escape the prison of robot society by himself. Once you have tuned in by turning on, you will see that it is easy to leave the game. You have been born into an insane asylum, and it is simple and obvious to take advantage of the insanity around you to make your escape. One of the most obvious symptoms of the current social insanity is man's lemming-like rush to the cities. Take advantage of this insanity. You will find, within 3 hours' drive from any American city. Deserted towns, deserted farmhouses, vast regions of forest and meadow and farmland which can be rented or bought. As the insane society of adults around you rushes to enslave itself to machines, you will find an increasing market for craftsman-like work or for the production of articles which are too beautiful or too private to be made on mass assembly lines. But not in rebellion. Drop out by tuning in. As you drop out, you will find that you do nothing which is not an act of beauty. And this is how you will make your living. Because nothing made by a machine can please a sense organ of a human being, or can make sense to the cellular wisdom inside a human being. Every time in the last few weeks that I have repeated this message, turn on, tune in, and drop out, I have been besieged by entreaties from my middle-aged friends. You can't say that, they tell me. But what I am saying is not reckless advice. It happens to be the oldest message of human wisdom. Look within, find your own divinity, detach yourself from social and material struggle. What is reckless is the American education system today, which puts young people on a mass assembly line geared to produce robots. American education does neurological damage. The schools and colleges of this country are designed and supported by parents who wish their children to become like them, which means like grandmother. One final word to the young people who listen to this record. Be cool. Remember, overt rebellion is part of the game. Be cool. Evolution is a silent, invisible process. When the first young amphibians began to slither out of the water, they didn't print manifestos or join picket lines. They did it in small, private, loving groups. The wisdom of yourselves will tell you that the work of evolution does not involve political action. Remember, too, to be kind. Do not frighten your parents unnecessarily. Turn on your parents. I don't mean drop LSD sugar cubes in their coffee cups. Start turning them on at the first level of the psychedelic hierarchy. Turn them on sensually. You see your mother as a symbolic creature, but she's actually a bundle of millions and millions of sense organs, of sensory cells. However symbol-addicted mother may be, she's basically a living organism with billions of neural cameras tuned to external energy. Don't use symbols to frighten her. Don't upset her symbol system. Go to visit her and delight her sense of smell with a flower. Delight her sense of taste with a new food. delight her sense of sound with the rhythm and harmony of your voice. Turn her on without drugs. Be cool. Be kind. Turn on. Tune in. Drop out.